Everybody can wield this weapon. Grandma, oh, many grandmas have wielded this weapon and slain dragons, right? And everybody should be wielding this. And that's why one of the most consistent themes of Our Lady and her approved apparitions is to pray the rosary. Basically, translation, unsheathe the sword.
Welcome, everybody, to the Grace Force. This is the Grace Force podcast, and this is going to be an awesome show. We have Father Donald Calloway and my buddy Doug, and this is going to be great. So let's start off with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right. Feast of the Holy Rosary, Feast of Our Lady of Victory. And feast. Yeah. So anyway, Doug, you want to start us out?
Yeah, sure. First, just welcome everybody. Thanks for being with us again. This is episode, what is it, 60, I think we are? Episode 60 of the U.S. Grace Force podcast. Going to have a little bit of fun tonight. We're going to change some of my background graphics.
So that's cool.
We'll see what stuff we come up with here. It's not a real clean green screen, but it is going to be fun. This is the official U.S. Grace Force, United States Grace Force logo, and excited to share it with you all. Plus, I also want to thank everybody out there who's been supporting us. I just got back this last weekend from a pilgrimage at the Abbey and Clear Creek up there in Oklahoma. And nice. Met hundreds of people that were up there, and so many came up to me and said, love the podcast, tell Father Heilman hi, we think it's a great show. And I can't tell you what that means to us. It is so encouraging and so
helpful. Hey, Doug,
to be out there supporting us.
I went down to the Eucharistic procession in Kenosha, Wisconsin. That's where all the riots were.
Yeah.
And there's about 1,000 people there, and it was the same thing. Everybody's coming up, oh man, we love the podcast, and it was awesome. So I just want to chime in. Oh,
it's exciting. So, I mean, I just can't thank everybody out there enough for your support. Also want to thank the patrons out there through the Patreon program. I always want to say at the beginning of the show, you have been a tremendous help for us. There's so many people behind the scenes that are working hard to get this out every week. And so thank you so much. Anybody who's interested in helping to support us financially, if you'd like to, you can click the link below in the description, go out to Patreon, prayerfully consider. There are different tiers you can sign up for. And again, we're so thankful because it means a lot to us on so many levels. Also, don't forget to go out to the U.S. Grace Force gear page and check out our t-shirt designs. We've got great designs out there. Thanks be to God. I only kneel for God, God alone. Under God only. Okay. The United States placed this country of ours under God, and check out this new design. Okay, the dogma lives loudly within me. And this is one.
People love this one.
Oh, powerful statement.
Yeah,
statement. So much going on right now, of course, with Amy Coney Barrett and the whole Supreme Court justice situation. We are in the thick of it right now. It's a critical moment. So go on out there and click that link below the U.S. Grace Force gear page and check out all the different designs we have. Everything you purchase there helps support the Grace Force and everything that we're trying to do. And we are trying to raise the ranks. So we encourage you to spread the word to other people and get people to sign up. You can sign up to be part of the U.S. Grace Force, be part of the 54-day Rosary Novenas that we do. And today ends the 54-day Rosary Novena. And we just cannot encourage enough people to get out there, engage in the prayer, engage in this faith that God has given us to the Catholic Church, and be warriors in the thick of this battle. So check out the Grace Force gear page. Check out the new t-shirt designs. Check out the Patreon page if you want to support us. Don't forget to sign up, become a U.S. Grace Force member, and join the force in this deep prayer. And I also want to make one more quick pitch. October 13th, the anniversary of the Miracle of the Son of Our Lady of Fatima, one of my favorite days to ever consider and remember, we are launching our Battle Ready Emergency Preparedness course. It's a training course to help us be better prepared, body, mind, and soul, especially with everything going on in the world. We need to be better prepared spiritually 24/7, 365, but also on a natural level. We need to have an idea what's going on, because as Catholics, our job for 2,000 years has been to bring light and truth and peace and food and shelter and defense and the grace of God, supernatural, natural, into the darkest places of the world. And this is our time to do that. So October 13th, we're launching this new course. We had a pre-launch a couple weeks ago, and now it's coming out on the 13th, and it is going to be out there for you to purchase and engage in. It's a very extensive course on body, mind, soul, being better prepared for everything that we are facing now and may face in the future. So please check that out and prayerfully consider purchasing that course and getting involved in it, because it is our job now to be that source of light and truth and peace and hope,
yeah,
and food and shelter and all the corporate and spiritual works of mercy that we're called to give to the world.
That's really resonating too, Doug. You got a ton of people signing up for that. That's awesome. Everybody's got to sign up. It really is great. And Doug's been doing this for a year. He's probably the leading expert, I think. That's just my opinion. Everyone sign up for that. Tons of people are already. So get in on it.
And you know what? Real quick on that point too, Father. In fact, just at the day we record this, I got a phone call today from someone up in Minnesota. And wonderful woman, great Catholic woman. And she said, you know, Doug, I know that you're involved in this stuff. I don't want to pick your brain because we're having a meeting. And the meeting at the time we record this is taking place tomorrow. And she asked me if I'd be part of it as a Zoom call in. So I'm gonna Zoom in.
Nice.
And it's neighbors getting together. All right. And they're discussing what to do in case things don't go very well, as we're seeing. I mean, she's from Minnesota, so they've seen Minneapolis on fire. All right, you've all seen Kenosha and Louisville and look what's going to Portland and Seattle and all these places. And there's promise out there from the left that even if there is a landslide and President Trump wins clearly and decisively, they're still willing to and claiming they're going to rise up in the streets. Yeah. So people are concerned about this, understandably. So I'm going to be involved in this Zoom meeting. And a lot of people are starting to ask me these questions. I've been talking about this for a long time, for many years. And a lot of people just kind of lived in the normalcy bias mindset. That's not going to happen. Not going to worry about it. And now that's changing people's perspective as they're seeing these things in the streets. Police are being abolished, defunded, violence rising up. And a lot of people are wondering, wait a minute, maybe we should be doing something on a natural level. So anybody out there who wants to contact me, I'll come to your parish. I'll come to your church. I'll come to your home if we can get a living room together of people. And let's talk about what we can do to be better prepared as Catholics, body, mind, and soul. Especially us laymen, it's our job, and I've said this before, to protect the good priests, any priest, but especially good priests. Like Father Heilman, our guest tonight, Father Calloway, good friend of ours. I've known Father Calloway for years. Back before this amazingly wise-looking beard that he now has growing.
It's awesome.
It is. But I've been friends with Father Calloway for years, and I got to tell you, Father, both these priests need to know that we lay people will step up. We laymen will step up and protect and defend the priesthood. So we men got to gear up and be ready, watch each other's back, train, prepare, and be ready to protect our priests as well, just as we've done in the past when they used to hide priests out.
Yep.
You know, when Henry VIII was going ape and he was killing priests left and right and so forth, they had hiding places in people's homes. We need to be ready to protect and defend our priests who bring us the sacraments. They bring
I want to say, you know, we've had these rosary rallies and Eucharistic processions, and I actually have a guy who's a retired Marine who won't let me go, you know, in my car, walk, anything without being there right next to me. He's kind of my security guard.
Nice.
But you know, that spirit is in a lot of the men in my parish. I know, Doug, you're coming up. Yep. You and I are giving a talk in Iowa. And then again in Wisconsin Dells, but in the 2 days in between, you're going to be at my parish,
right,
mostly talking with my men about everything you just said. And then also you're going to go up to Father Altman's parish and talk with people up in La Crosse. So thanks for all you do, Doug. It's so important right now in these times. This is awesome. And again, he's like the leading expert. It's just amazing. So please, everybody sign up.
And that's Father, my two cents. We should make quick mention too. When we are going to be, this is going to be October 22nd, Wednesday, October 22nd. We're going to be in Dubuque, Iowa. And check out this image logo we got right here of all of this. And we want you to go check this out. Sign up. If you're in that area, it's a free event.
October 21st. I just brought my calendar.
21st? Up. Okay. October 21st. Wednesday, the 21st. Go out to Dubuque, Iowa. Get involved. It's a great conference center. And we're doing a live recording of the U.S. Grace Force. So Father and I will both be there. And you got to be part of this, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a fantastic event, and we just want you to be there. So please.
And we're doing a Men of Christ conference on October 20. Let me get my calendar back up. 24th. That's a Saturday.
Right.
And that's going to be in Wisconsin Dells. It's going to be awesome. Okay. Doug is a speaker. I'm giving a little talk there too about confession, but just amazing speakers, including Sheriff David Mahoney. So, I mean, and our bishop. So it's going to be amazing. So, and you don't have to be from our diocese to come. You can come from everywhere you want, but It is for men. So girls, germs, no returns. So, so anyway.
All right. So, but tonight we have an amazing guest, and Father, you are one of those like leading experts we always turn to when we want to delve into the power of the rosary and the title, the rosary, the great dragon slayer. I mean, we were joking around about, we just got to say, Father, why the rosary? And we could just walk away and you could take it from there. We do have some questions we want to ask you, but
come back in an hour.
Exactly. But the power of the rosary, and so many people are starting to gather together in different areas for this. You've written a great book on it. It's right there over your shoulder in the shot there behind you.
But it's an amazing book.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
It's an amazing book.
Yeah. But why the title, The Great Dragon Slayer? I love that.
Yeah, no, I love it too, guys. And thanks for having me back, guys. I love you guys, man. You guys.
I love you.
You guys are amazing.
We love the beard.
Yeah, thanks. It's so funny. A lot of my social commitments this year got canceled. And so I just said, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And so this is what 2020 does to a man. It turns his facial hair gray.
You know? It's distinguished, you know. It's really nice. It's kind of the same fur of my dog Lady, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Black over here.
The whole world was watching there, Father, when Lady was passing and praying for you and everything. I know I love dogs myself, and
I'm first in line with the next litter. So,
fantastic.
It's got to be patient. This has been a year of God asking us to be patient. So, mm-hmm. And I think we're just getting stronger too, because you know, patience in endurance. That's actually one of the virtues we ask for during the 54-day Rosary Novena, to have patience. But boy, it's been that year. Wow.
Oh, and it's unreal. It's unreal. Yeah. So, you know, the rosary right now, I think, is so huge because, you know, getting back to that theme of the rosary being like a spiritual sword, right? So that has been the understanding of the rosary, what it is from the very beginning of its existence. When Our Lady gave the rosary to St. Dominic in the early 13th century, she explicitly told him that it was a spiritual weapon. That's what Our Lady said. And I'm sure you remember this. I loved it. I was jumping up shouting. I loved it so much at the Republican National Convention when the sister
gave
a talk and she held up her
rosary. She's actually going to be at our National Rosary Rally next weekend in Washington Mall. And if anybody, a quick pitch before I forget, it's October 11th on Sunday afternoon. And we're going to be praying the rosary at 4 p.m. But Sister Didi is going to be one of the speakers then. So please, 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 if you're in the area or want to make the trip, please come. But sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. No, she's awesome.
She's amazing because when she did that, when she said, this is our weapon of choice, I was just like, yes, I've been shouting that, you know, for years. And, you know, some people were triggered by that. Okay.
Sure.
Priests were triggered by that. And I'm like, what? I'm like, where you been, bro? This is the whole meaning of the rosary. Yes, it's spiritual roses for Our Lady, for sure. But it's that double meaning. It's a sword and a rose. That's been there from the beginning. That's why Dominicans and most all mendicant religious communities wear the rosary on the left side of their habit.
Right.
Because it was, you know, it signifies a sword. So most people are right-handed. So you unsheathe your sword from your left side. And that's why they wear it on their left side. You know, Dominicans, Franciscans, Carmelites, other groups. And so... But just to reiterate something, because this is huge. In one of my books, I actually found a quote from the prophet Isaiah that talks about the sword and the dragon, right?
Wow.
So I'm going to read this to you because this is a zinger. When you hear this, you're just like, wow. A lot of people, I think, have read this, you know, but they don't make the connection that, you know, we can talk about it in various ways, what this sword is. But one way definitely is that it's a rosary because the rosary is based on the word of God, right?
Right. All right.
Check this out. This is from Isaiah 27, verse 1. In that day, the Lord will punish with his sword, his fierce, great, and powerful sword, Leviathan, the gliding serpent, Leviathan, the coiling serpent. He will slay the dragon in the sea.
Wow.
Right?
That is awesome.
That is super awesome. So you guys need to make another shirt with that.
Yeah. We got to do that, Doug. Slay the Dragon t-shirt. We need that. We will. With that quote on it.
We will. Yeah. And that is excellent. Today, count on it. The t-shirt will be designed soon.
Design that puppy, right? I mean, you got the dogma lives loudly in me now, right? Get that right. Well, today there is a dragon, you know, the devil and demons who are very much at work in the world and deceiving souls and with his trickery and breathing fire, really, right, trying to destroy marriages, families, priests, yep, church, all that stuff. And so everybody knows that you never slay a dragon without a sword.
Right.
I mean, even pagans know this. This is what's in the movies. It's in the songs. It's in the video games. Everybody knows this. It's a no-brainer. And so when Sister stood up and said that, I was like, yes, because when you say that, you're acknowledging that there is a dragon. Right. That's why we need this sword. And so here's the key thing about this sword, okay, is that you don't have to be Conan to wield it. You can be a child. Everybody can wield this weapon. Grandma, many grandmas have wielded this weapon and slain dragons, right? And everybody should be wielding this. And that's why one of the most consistent themes of Our Lady and her approved apparitions is to pray the rosary. Basically, translation, unsheathe the sword.
Right.
That's what Mama Mary is saying to her children. Yep. Use the weapon. I gave it to you. Cut off the heads of the wicked Hydra. There's seven of them, devices of sin. Slay the dragon. And that's why we need it today, because the dragon is loose. And we have got to take this weapon up again, individually, as families, as parishes, as a church. We got to do this, brothers. We got to do this.
Father, yeah,
go ahead, for Doug.
No, you, Father, you first.
Well, I was just saying that one of the things that's really emerging in our times, and this is why I think that we're starting to get a leg up on the devil, and I also believe it's the reason why the devil's so mad right now, is that we're starting to believe in such things as the supernatural power that we wield when we pray the rosary, okay? We're given that power, you know, through Our Lady, you know, to actually use the rosary as a weapon. You know, I always remember Padre Pio said, "Bring me my weapon." We're afraid to use that militaristic language in our times, it seems, you know. We're a bunch of peaceniks, and in reality, you know, while we're being so docile and compliant, okay, the devil's just eating our lunch. Yeah. And so we aren't to ride in the street and loot the stores and burn down buildings or anything like that. That's not what we do. But we have supernatural weapons, okay, that and I always remind people, remember this now, God is more powerful than the devil, okay? And God has placed a human being. In fact, maybe Father, you can talk about this. It's almost like mocking the devil. You're an angel, you're a supernatural being, but I'm going to put a human being, okay, the Blessed Mother, to be more powerful than you. That drives him crazy, right? Yeah. What about that dynamic, Father?
Oh, that's huge. Oh, brother, you're nailing an issue right now, because when Our Lady came to St. Dominic and told him to preach, you know, the rosary, she said that when God was ready to renew the world, he started it by sending it the sweet Ave. So the initiation of our salvation was when the angel came and said, you know, hail full of grace. And so now when we pray the rosary, we're basically firing off spiritual bullets against the devil. We're basically every Hail Mary is like a bullet, and we got a fully loaded clip, and we can just keep going. We can keep firing. And the devil knows this, and he hates it. He hates the rosary. And this is why in the French Revolution, for example, because there's a lot of talk today about the ideas of the French Revolution resurfacing today. You can call it socialism, you can call it Marxism, you can call it all kind of isms. And it is in many, you know, political figures, they're talking about this stuff. The devil is so fearful of what the rosary can do to turn around these kind of revolutions. That's why during the French Revolution at Notre Dame in Paris, the leaders of the French Revolution brought a prostitute into Our Lady's Cathedral, had her lie half naked on the altar, and shouted out to her repetitiously this, Hail, goddess, full of reason.
Whoa.
That's the devil's mockery of the sweet Ave.
Whoa.
The Ave Maria bears fruit because it was spoken by God through his angel. God never sends his voice out without it bearing fruit. It doesn't come back void. It bears fruit. The devil knows that, and therefore he doesn't want it to go out, and he wants to mock it. And so he had the leaders of this revolution shout out, Hail, goddess, full of reason, mocking the sweet Ave.
Wow.
Well, that's why we've got to load the clip today. That's why we've got people today. You know, when people say to me, oh, the sister who said it's a weapon, I'm triggered by that. It's not a weapon. No, it is a weapon. It's always been understood that. And even recently, because some people might say, well, that was in medieval times. That was some pope and, you know, back in the 16th century. Hey, what about Pope Benedict XVI during his pontificate? I got the quotes in my books where he says the rosary is our spiritual weapon.
Right.
That's a recent pope. We're not talking about 16th right. century. We're talking about now.
Pope Francis just talked about spiritual combat.
Yeah.
Like, last week. I thought that was awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Now, Father, the question I have for you, what the excuses that people give as to why not to pray the rosary, you know, and all my travels around for 30 years, and you've run into it, I'm sure, more than I have probably, many people will come up, well, I don't have time for the rosary, you know, I don't quite get enough out of it, you know, or as a friend of mine said one time, it reminds me, it's just the sort of thing that's for old people and funerals, or old ladies and funerals.
Right.
I'm busy. I have things to do. I don't have time to actually sit down and pray this sort of thing. I mean, how do you answer those people who say that they don't have time for really relatively 15 to 20 minutes
right.
a day to pray the rosary? What do you say?
Yeah. But before he answers, I just want to say what my response was. I designed a rosary that's based on the 1960 rosary that soldiers carried in World War I and also World War II. But the reason was, is because of what you just said, Doug. Rosaries look like women's jewelry or children's toys, okay?
Right.
And men were saying that. That's for ladies only, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to help them, and along with your amazing book, Father, it really helped. But to remember that men, you have to wield your weapon. This is the combat rosary that I designed. But you have to wield your weapon. And it's such a weapon, too. And I want to just say this here, that I actually, you got, if you're going to have your weapon, you better have your, let me get in the camera there. You get your concealed carry card with you at all times, right?
I love it.
Love it. So anyways, but yeah, we have to help men to understand that. So I'm sorry, Father, you go for answer the question.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, nobody has pinpoint precision to stay focused for 20 minutes straight praying the rosary. You're going to get distracted. That's going to happen. But what I like to call that is, you know, we're children of God, we're sons and daughters of God. And just like a little child gives his mom and dad butterfly kisses, right? Very distracted, just all over the place. But, you know, they'll take all those kisses they can get. So when we get distracted while praying the rosary, God understands it. We just bring our mind back to the mystery and we keep moving forward. We're giving God butterfly kisses, you know, when we do it. Saints struggle with praying the rosary. St. Teresa of Lisieux, the little flower, she talks about that. She struggled, but she kept doing it because love perseveres. And I always like to tell people, look, I know people, you know, that walk their dog for more than 20 minutes a day, are on the toilet for more than 20 minutes a day. You can't give God 15 to 20 minutes? Really? I mean, that's a cop-out, man. Come on. You drive to work probably takes more than 20 minutes. There's so many things. You spend so much time looking at stupid YouTube videos for more than 20 minutes a day. Come on, you can do this. 15 right. to 20 minutes. I mean, yeah. It's a game changer. It changes history. Our Lady says it stops wars. Do it.
Well, it helps us to discipline our spiritual lives too. I mean, you think about people who will go to the gym and work out, you know, and become disciplined, or they're disciplined in their job, or they're disciplined in their parenting, you know? They develop that discipline. We have to develop the same discipline in our spiritual lives. And if we're not careful, okay, that can take a back seat to everything else, and we're totally undisciplined in our spiritual lives. So this mantra that we pray, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, and we stick with it, Again, we become stronger, okay, by learning to become spiritually disciplined. The other thing too is that we become stronger because it's an act of pure humility. You want me to do this? Okay. It's you mean 50 Hail Marys, you know, but If you say so, sir, yes, sir, ma'am, you know, I will do it. But I think that's a big part of the rosary. Wouldn't you say, Father, that developing of spiritual discipline, right?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. And then when that becomes part of your daily routine, when you don't do it, you feel incomplete and you feel like, wow, I missed it, you know, and that, right. you need to get back into that rhythm, because if you right. go too long outside of that rhythm, you get into a bad rut and a bad right. pattern. And that's why saints have called this, you know, like a spiritual anchor as right. well, right? It grounds you so that you don't drift too far.
Exactly. So
we all get busy. We all do, you know, all kinds of, we're wrapped up in activities and whatnot. But 15 to 20 minutes a day, that is nothing. I mean, there's really no excuse.
I call it the umbilical cord, to Our Lady. You know, we're that close. It's like we're climbing into her womb. I mean, we're under her mantle. We're just as close as we can possibly be. And Our Lady, is, by the great design of God, is extremely powerful. And she has influence, you know. She stands with us before the throne of God. She's our advocate, our defense attorney. Yep. Okay. And I always say too, that moms usually are, you know, you know, in families that the dad's like, what did you do? Well, honey, you know, so she helps, they talk about that in the judgment day that the prosecuting attorney is the devil to tell God everything bad about us, why we shouldn't, you know, it's like a Kavanaugh hearing, you know. And she stands there and goes, nope, he's my precious child, blah, blah. And, right, it's an amazing, amazing gift that we have given this powerful and nurturing, okay, yep. tender mother in Mary.
Yeah. Yep. And here's the thing too, guys, is, you know, as a priest, I mean, I know we all hear this, but, you know, hearing confessions, it kicks it up a notch. I hear so many people today talking about their particular habitual sin, especially like pornography, for example,
right.
and many of the things that go along with that.
One of Satan's great weapons today.
Oh, it's filth. It is a plague. It is, you know.
It's right there on your phone.
Yeah. And everybody's, you know, talking about COVID today, right? Pornography, man, that is such a plague on the world that is
exactly.
way greater than COVID. We're talking about it kills souls.
It kills, yeah, the grace, it's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it affects guys mainly, but then they're just kind of dead. They're just like a sloth, you know.
They're impotent.
Yeah.
You can't be strong when you're impure. That's why the devil isn't scared of many men today, because they're not terrors of demons, because they're impure. They're spiritually impotent. They have no power. That's why they need to pick up this sword and put holy images into their mind instead of the filthy pornographic craziness. And this is the stuff that will regenerate them and give them new life and make them strong fathers, husbands, priests, bishops. This is what we need today, man, universally. It's a no-brainer.
When Father, when you were mentioned earlier, you talked about, you know, the approved messages of our Blessed Mother, which, you know, in all my years, that's the one thing I constantly try to emphasize to people is, of all the Marian apparitions I'm going to talk about, I'm only going to talk about the ones that have been approved by the church, because you're safe there.
Yep.
You know, in particular, Fatima, 1917, when she appeared, the six apparitions in Fatima, there's one thing that she repeated, and that was, when you pray the rosary, you bring peace to the world and you can avert war. Yep. And I can't imagine why peace to the world and averting war would not be a couple of major motivating factors to get us to pray the rosary 15, 20 minutes a day. And you talk about peace. I mean, talk about being able to beat back the attacks of the devil with regard to things like pornography, you know, in other addictions that are out there that really disrupt peace. They destroy peace, peace in your own soul, peace in the soul of the lives of your family, ultimately all of society. And if we can engage the weapon of the rosary, and that can become that weapon that we use to beat back those attacks, find the peace in our own souls, bring it to the souls of those that are in our family that God has entrusted to our care. You know, and then from there, it flows out into society. And these things have been proven over and over again.
Yeah.
I know Father Heilman, the Wisconsin rally you guys had, where you had, what, 2,000 to 3,000 people praying?
Yeah, 3,000.
Yeah, processing with the Blessed Sacrament, praying the rosary in the streets. Yeah. And even law enforcement, you said some of them were practically in tears or just overjoyed at the peace.
They were.
that was in the streets from even people leading, simply praying the rosary.
Yeah, even leading up to it, you know, we were inquiring with law enforcement, you know, what do you need for us to... And they're like, this is amazing. Bring it. We need this so much. Law enforcement was doing that. And I went up to a law enforcement officer while we were processing. He was sitting in his car off to the side. And I walked over and I said, you know, these 3,000 people, they're the silent majority. Every last one of these souls love you guys. And he started to tear up. He lowered his head and I said, I know. But, you know, the power. And we would walk by these boarded up businesses. You know, these are family-owned businesses, okay? Boarded up, graffiti all over them. And there were people that were up there at the time we were processing. And I saw, I think I saw at least a half a dozen people wiping tears from their eyes as we came. And that was where we got to the state capitol with our Lord in the Eucharist, and we prayed a patriotic rosary, and we prayed for every state in the United States during that time. But it was, and again, you know, we can't counter with burning down stores and looting. Okay, we counter with the power of the rosary. Okay. We counter with the supernatural weapons that have been given to us. But in our time, right now, in particular, the rosary seems to be the weapon of choice for Our Lady and Our Lord. Father, can you speak to that? Why now? Why is the rosary in particular now? And of course, I would say both Bosco's pillars, the rosary and the Eucharist, but why the rosary right now?
Well, you know, I think in many ways, Our Lady told us at Fatima, like Doug was saying, you know, at the last apparition, October 13th, 1917, she actually identified herself and gave herself a title. So we call the apparition Our Lady of Fatima, and rightly so, right? But she actually said to the children and to the whole world that she was the Lady of the Rosary.
Right.
And, you know, Sister Lucia years later would say that the final battle between good and evil would be fought over marriage and the family. And so I think that's a big part of why the rosary right now. We need to get back to like the family rosary, especially because as the Venerable Patrick Peyton used to say, and by the way, there's a phenomenal film coming out on him later in October.
Nice.
Off the charts good. I mean, I previewed it and I was like, wow.
Nice.
I mean, it's really good. Remember his slogan, the family that prays together stays together, right? And that's what we need to get back to, family prayer. That's why I think that, you know, tragically, when this whole COVID thing happened around the world, everybody went into lockdown and even churches were closed, sadly. People turned their home into their church. And the only thing that they basically had was the rosary.
Right.
And is that not what Our Lady said at Akita? An approved apparition, she said that there will come a time where one of the only things that you're going to have is the rosary. Hello, we're living in fulfilled prophecies here, man. And people, and, you know, it's like, it's so easy to see that we need to get back to this form of, God basically said to the world, all right, everybody time out to your rooms. You need to learn how to pray again. Okay.
Right. Yes.
Distracted. I'm going to stop the sports. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop all this, all the movies, everything's going to shut down. Basically, go and take this off the mantle it's been collecting dust on. Take it off your rearview mirror in your car and learn how to pray it now, you know, because that's more important than just owning one. It's actually using it. And so I think that's why today the emphasis is so big on the rosary. And look, historically, in my books, again, you know, I talk about how the rosary, when a country is threatened by communism or socialism or some dictator, like in the Philippines or in Austria, you know, when people begin to pray the rosary in marches in Brazil, ideological regimes are overcome. You don't need to fire bullets. Like in the Philippines with the People Power Revolution, they stood in front of tanks in the 1980s and pushed out the dictator. He had to flee the country. Same thing in Brazil. Same thing in Austria. 1/10 of the people in Austria were marching through the streets praying the rosary, and the communists fled of their own volition. They just left. And people were like, wow, how did that happen? Duh, right? The people took up arms, this arm, this weapon, and the devil flees when we do it. So we're under threat today. We've got to take up this spiritual weapon again, and we've got to get back to this.
Yeah, and you know, this is something I know with everything going on right now in the press, Father, I don't know what your thoughts are regarding, you know, the fact that at the time we record this, we have Joe Biden running for president, and, you know, not to turn this into a political thing necessarily, but let's look at the moral issue here, that he claims to be a Catholic. He claims to be, he's touted in the press as a devout Catholic. Although, again, Amy Coney Barrett's going to go before, you know, the whole hearings, and they're going to vote on her and so forth. And they're saying that she's too Catholic. You know, again, the dogma lives loudly within you, they said, and that bothered them. I'm sorry, we should put this back up if I'm going to talk about this. There we go. The dogma lives loudly within me is one of our t-shirt designs. But the fact that we've got this press out there, the left, and a lot of even, you know, I say nominal, I don't know how faithful you want to call them. I'm not trying to judge anybody, but Catholics who will say, yeah, that makes sense. Biden's a Catholic. He should be good to go. And yeah, that Amy Coney Barrett, she's a little too extreme, too wild. I mean, where do you see the way that Catholicism is even being kind of twisted by the press, twisted by politics? And yeah. And a lot of Catholics are caught in the middle of this. Like, well, how strong a Catholic should I be then? Can I be a Biden type Catholic where I can claim I'm Catholic and yet I can still support abortion? Or do I have to be an Amy Coney Barrett Catholic? You know, it's kind of like they're being pitted against one another. Right. I mean, how do you answer that kind of approach that a lot of Catholics are going through right now as they listen to this back and forth in the news?
Yeah, well, this is the sad thing is, you know, you've got to look at the fruits that come from it. So you can have all the trappings of Catholicism. You can wear a rosary bracelet or whatever. And that can trick people and they can think, wow, this person's Catholic. They, you know, I'm just going to go with them. Whatever they say must be okay. Really? So if you're in favor of abortion, if you've actually performed a so-called homosexual marriage, right? That is not the fruit of a devout, solid Catholic. That is not. You are not united with Christ. There is another spirit at work there that is not the Holy Spirit. So when you see someone like Amy, you know, Coney Barrett, I mean, this woman, she knows our Lord. There's good fruit there. Look at, this woman has adopted two children, has a child with some disability. I mean, she's a woman of integrity. She's, just an incredible lady. She's a lady. And I think that that fruit shows. So you can have all the trappings. You can call yourself a Catholic and you can have maybe even stuff that might draw people to it. Because this often happens in certain cultures, right? Where they hear somebody say, well, I'm a Catholic. So they just think I'm going to go that way. And that's why I love, by the way, guys like Eduardo Verástegui, you know, the Mexican actor guy, because he basically tells people, look, guys, don't be duped by just thinking that somebody who just has an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe is a devout Catholic. Even the astrologists on, you know, Mexican TV have an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Don't be duped by thinking, you know, that these people are on the side of Christ. They're not. They're deceiving you. So you've got to look at the fruit. You've got to look at the fruit to know what spirit is behind what sometimes can appear to be one thing, but it isn't. But it isn't.
Hey, you brought up Our Lady of Akita, and that triggered my memory that Sister Agnes Hisagawa got another revelation last year. And we were made aware of it like toward the end of October, early November, but she actually it was revealed to her on October 6th, okay, the vigil of Our Lady of the Rosary. What was interesting too, and I've said this on other podcasts, but on that same day, okay, that was when the Amazon Synod started. And we were frightened during that time because the left wing, I call them secular progressive wing of the bishops and cardinals, wanted to usher in all this stuff. And no matter what the intention was, if it was pure or not, I don't know, but it seemed like they wanted to normalize bringing idols into our churches during that time. Okay, so that was going on at the time. So a lot of people were frightened. You know, what is this going to upend our church? You know, these progressives that hate the past, you know, and want only their future, you know. And so that was going on. But the other thing that's interesting too, I found, and, you know, at this point, I don't think it's proven, but they say that the cell phone activity in that laboratory in Wuhan, China, stopped on October 7th, and they say meaning some event occurred on October 6th. So on October 6th, you've got the virus possibly leaking on that day. You've got, you know, normalization of idol worship and the call for women clergy and the end of celibacy and everything else they were trying to push through. Of course, none of that happened, you know, praise God. And then on the exact same day, you have this warning. And what was it? It was just one line, right? I don't know. I'm not aware it was anything else. Put on ashes and pray a penitential rosary.
Right.
Which it's almost like Jonah going into Nineveh, right? Yeah. And going, hey, you know. And here's my naive, hopeful self, okay? So the virus leaks and we went through, you know, 2020 is just somebody the year of hell. But you could say it that way because maybe what we were made to see was evil itself. You know, so evil was brought out in the open for all of us to see. That's my take on 2020. And now you have to choose. You know, there's a scripture passage, choose the God of Baal or choose God or not. You know, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but and so we're made to choose. I was saying there's no gray area right now. We have to choose, and that's where we're left right now. But I'll conclude just by saying this, is that there are signs right now, and this is right on or near the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, and we've been praying, and this is the 54th day of our Rosary Novena. There are signs that this pandemic is over. Not that it stopped existing, but it stopped being such a scary, you know, going to kill the whole world thing. The death rate has gone down near the level of flu, you know, and there's all kinds of signs of treatments now. And we just had our president on full display. You just spend a weekend in the hospital. He's 74 and, you know, he's overweight. The left likes to say obese, you know, but he should have died by their estimation. Right. But he walks out and I actually said we should play the Rocky music, the theme from Rocky when he's walking out of the hospital. But the idea is that and then the other thing with all the other people that were infected in the White House, and you know, God forbid, you know, this doesn't end up being true. But right now they're saying that everybody's saying they'll probably have minimal effect from it or none, you know, symptoms. They'll probably have little symptoms or none. And everybody kind of knows this right now. And so it almost seems like, you know, we've been praying and look what happened. What do you think, Father? That's my naive take on things.
Yeah, no, I remember when new message came out from Sister Sasagawa last year. But here's the thing. I didn't even know that she was still alive.
I know, like, right?
She's still living? I'm like, what?
Yeah, nothing since 1973, you know, when she had, nothing. Yeah.
So that was a shocker for me.
Right.
But you know what's interesting to me about this year, 2020, is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, October 7, is also the first Wednesday of the month. Now, why is that important? Well, the first Wednesday of the month is now becoming known as the day when we honor Saint Joseph.
Right.
Because there's been a huge resurgence right
so
now.
So pointing to Joseph again.
Totally. Absolutely. Yes. So right now you get the 1-2 punch in the spiritual life. When you bring in Our Lady and her rosary and Saint Joseph, kaboom. We're talking about spiritual powerhouse, man.
So, and I think it's pushing us men to be Josephs, okay? And that means being a servant leader, okay? I always say treat a woman like they're queens. And to me, that's the remedy for pornography and all that. Stop objectifying. Treat them that they're sacred. They carry the baby in mama's womb. You know, they're sacred. When I was a kid, we used to stand when a lady walked into the room. Where's that gone? That's what a Saint Joseph means. He leads, but he's a servant leader. And that, I think, is been clear in the year of Saint Joseph. The men need to get strong, but strong in that way, wouldn't you say, Father?
Totally. I mean, think about the litany of Saint Joseph. Wouldn't it be great if wives and children, if they were having like a show and tell in their class, and they were saying, describe your father to the class, and kids said, my father is the pillar of our family. My father is the glory of domestic life. My father is the terror of demons.
Right.
That's what we need today is to have more fathers, including men like myself who wear a Roman collar around our neck, to be like Saint Joseph, to be terrors of demons, to be the pillar, to be that which holds things up.
Amen.
And let's bring in the rosary and St. Joseph, right? Since right. we're talking about the rosary,
right?
There's a connection. A lot of people think, oh yeah, it's kind of a bummer. We love the rosary, but we can't really bring Joseph into it. No, yes, you can. The joyful mysteries of the rosary are Joseph mysteries. He's present in all five of those mysteries. Mm. And so when you meditate, right, if you follow the cycle, weekly cycle of praying the rosary, you pray the joyful mysteries two times a week. Think about St. Joseph. Oh, thanks, Father. Yeah, the book. Think about St. Joseph because, I mean, he was there. Let's bring him into this now because we got families under attack, the whole crisis going on. Let's bring in St. Joseph even into our rosaries.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny, Father. I think back many years ago when my wife and I were first married and pregnant with our first child, my daughter, who's now 28. She's 28? She's 28, isn't she? Yeah, okay. My son, talking to my son. And so here's what happens is, as a priest, and God bless this priest, he had the courage to challenge me in this. And he says to me, he says, okay, I was supposed to talk with him about this new ministry that I started called Radix. And the bishop asked me to go speak with him and to kind of help me get on the right track with it all. So I sit down to talk with him and my wife's not with me. It's just me. And he says, okay, so a new ministry. I said, yes. He says, okay, tell me about it. I tell him. Then he says, okay, how's your marriage? I said, well, it's fine. And I didn't make the connection that my vocation, my path to holiness, to sanctity is my vocation of marriage. And that the ministry work is a second to that, that your vocation is first. And so he taught me that at that point. And then he said, tell me this. He says, do you pray with your wife? I said, I do. He said, is the dogma loudly within you?
Okay.
Yeah. Does it live within you loudly? No. He said, do you pray with your wife? I said, I do. And he says, do you lead the prayer? Mm. Now, this is to you men out there. I said, well, kind of, but she's pretty good at it. So I let her do it. He did not let me off the hook. He established at that point, you are the spiritual head of the home. You need to take this up and lead in the prayer. I thought about this, Father, as you mentioned that about if your kid were, you know, at school, show and tell, talking about their dad, what would they say? Would my kid be able to say, yeah, my dad leads the family in prayer. My dad's not afraid to speak out in prayer. He doesn't defer to mom all the time. And then the priest says to me, Father Michael was his name. He says, okay, Doug, do you bless your wife, the baby in the womb, my daughter now, and your home with holy water? And I said, well, no. And he said, well, why not? I said, well, I'd have to hire a bunch of monks to sing Gregorian chant, light incense. You know, I tried to make a joke out of it. And he didn't think it was very funny. And he basically laid it on the line and told me, you are the spiritual head of the home. And the devil fears you most
yes.
in this spiritual battle.
Because you have that authority.
That's it. You're the authority. He said, you yep. are the first line of defense. The devil's yep. trying to destroy your family. You are the first line of defense. And then he put his finger up and he said, what are you doing about it? So I went home that night with a bottle of holy water because he gave it to me. And the long story short is that I sprinkled holy water in the apartment. I waited till my wife went to bed because I was so gutless when it came to even talking to her about this. So I got to say to you men out there, do not fear taking up the spiritual weapons of things like the right. rosary, blessed salt, okay, holy water, and engage in this fight.
Yeah.
And so
I consecrate your home to the Sacred Heart.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Consecrate your home to the Sacred Heart. In my living room, we got the big image of Jesus, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's the one with the eyes that follow you around the room. And he looks like he could be smiling or frowning, depending on how you behaved that day.
Exactly.
It's that famous image. But it was all because of the courage of a priest who looked at me between the eyes and said, you're the head of the home. Yeah. You're the one. You're the first line of defense. You've got to engage in this battle, very much like St. Joseph. I mean, yep. Father Calloway, if you could comment on the fact that the Blessed Mother is immaculate. She is free from all sin. Her yeah. clarity in relationship with God in prayer would have been amazing. Joseph, of course, not quite to that same degree, okay? But yet God arranges it that he goes to Joseph yeah. when he tells him things that need to be done, like fleeing to Egypt, for example. That's a pretty major like decision that you're going to make in a family.
Yeah.
And so and I'm not just in any way, just to say that Joseph, that God himself allows Joseph to still be in charge and that Jesus himself places himself under the leadership of a human being who's yeah. not considered immaculate. Can you right. comment on that?
Oh, that shows the greatness of St. Joseph and his humility, because you're right. I mean, you think about it. In the family of Nazareth, right, you've got God, Jesus. you've got the Immaculate Conception, Our Lady, and then you've got St. Joseph, who's not God, and he's not an Immaculate Conception, though extremely holy. I mean, the greatest saint after Our Lady.
Sure.
But
sure.
Whose role was it to lead the prayers in that family? It was Joseph's. So God and the Immaculata defer to his leadership because it means something. So Could Jesus and Mary have prayed better than St. Joseph? You betcha. But that's not the point. And that's why so many men, you can't just defer and say, well, my wife does it better. That's not the point. She probably does. That's not the point. You have a role to play, and your children need to see it. And so I've got quotes about this in the book, Consecration to St. Joseph, where like Pope Benedict and many others talk about this, how it was Joseph's role to lead the family in prayers. It was his role to take the family to the temple in Jerusalem. And that's why when God spoke to that family, he spoke to the head of the family, St. Joseph, and Jesus was saved. The savior of the savior is St. Joseph. Mm-hmm. Not in the sense that St. Joseph is God or divine or the Messiah. He's not. But he saved our savior by his role as father of that family by taking our Lord away from a lunatic, Herod, to Egypt. And so we need men today to be those who are saving their families from other crazy institutions like Planned Parenthood by protecting them from these lunatics, from these institutions that want to kill babies. I mean, this is why we need fathers to man up today, to be the defenders, the providers, and as Father Hyman said, those servant leaders. Right. We're not talking about ogres or cavemen here.
Right.
We're talking about men who are sacrificial, who lay down their lives for the good, the true, and the beautiful that's been entrusted to them. That's when we'll see a turnaround, when more men are like our Lord and like St. Joseph.
You know, that's something I've asked the question in a lot of men's conferences. And I know, Father, you and I have spoken at men's conferences together several times. And I've always asked, I like to ask the guys, how many of you guys would fight for your family? You know, I like to back it up and say, okay, and shout this out, guys, who loves the family? And the guys scream, yeah, I love my family. Say, who would fight for the family? I'd fight for my family. Who'd die for your family? I'd die for my family. Say, but after you die, what happens to your family? And they kind of go, oh, well, I hadn't thought about that. One time I shouted out, okay, so what's the answer? And there's 1,000 guys in the room, and the guy in the back yells out, learn how to fight. Like, you know what? That makes sense. So on a physical level, I say to men all the time, if a bad guy kicked in your door, would you put yourself willingly between the bad guy and your family to save them and fight for them? And good men will always say yes. And I say, excellent. Now learn skill. So if that ever happens, you can survive the fight because your family needs you around. Spiritually, will you do that? And spiritually, you're always under attack. Now, please, Lord, we never have a home invasion, but many people do. But every single one of us and our family has spiritual attack. Men need to be willing to step into that gap immediately, learn how to engage in the spiritual enemies, do it with sacrifice and fasting and prayer and all that is imitating St. Joseph. You know, and I just say over and over to men, this is about the discipline and the love and the self-sacrifice. And just as we men will get up and we'll work 10, 15, 20-hour days until we lose our hair and callous up our hands, we'll do it for our loved ones, for our children and our wife. Will we then spiritually pray that rosary? Let's get the calluses on the fingers from the beads. Actually, you're not going to get them. They're smooth. But the point is, will you incorporate it into your day? I mean, I don't go anywhere without a rosary in my pocket, my brown scapular around my neck. I keep a tactical flashlight on me, and I conceal carry. So I'm prepared naturally and supernaturally, but I don't go anywhere without these weapons because I got to protect my wife and my kids, my grandkids. And as long as I got breath in my lungs, I need to be that knight over my shoulder. I need to be that knight that protects and defends those that God entrusts in my care. And I look to St. Joseph all the time. Father Calloway, think about this, and I know you've written on this, is that journey that he had to lead Mary and Joseph on to Egypt, it's not like hopping in a car with air conditioning or heated seats and driving down the interstate. This was a tough terrain. He had to be a tough guy. He had to physically and psychologically and spiritually be a very, very strong man. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, as Mother Angelica said, you know, old men don't walk to Egypt. And she's right. And they don't walk back either. And then they don't walk 3 times a year to Jerusalem from Nazareth. I mean, that's a lot of, I mean, he was a tough guy. He was a carpenter, but he also worked with stone. I mean, he was fit. He had to be. And so we need to do our part. I mean, even, you know, as you're saying so rightly, Doug, I mean, we need to do our part both in that physical aspect of being prepared and then spiritually. And that's where, you know, men need to step up their game. And, you know, like what you were saying at conferences, you ask guys, would you fight for your wife? Would you die for your wife? Yes. The next question is, will you pray for your wife? Will you be the example? Because when you, as a man, as the leader of that family, when it comes to being the strong one physically, right? Men are just more physically strong than women as a norm. So if your children see you on your knees, that is power. Because it shows my daddy can swing an axe, but he's also able to be humble on his knees in worship and leading the prayers. When a boy sees that, he wants to be like dad, like father, like son. Right. That's how you raise your boy. When your girl sees you like that, she's not going to have those daddy issues that we always hear about, or the crying out for affirmation in her teenage years when, you know, hormones are flying. She's going to look for a boy who's going to be like dad. Mm. Who's going to be a warrior, strong, humble, serving God first, because that's how the example was given. And any woman who has a man who is willing to fight, to work, and to pray, that woman has got a good man. And every woman knows it. I meet them on occasion, and they say, Father, I've got my Joseph. I've got my Joseph.
That is awesome.
Father, I want to just end by saying, here we are. We're on day 54 of the novena for our nation, and we're up to 76,000 who have enlisted in the United States Grace Force. And this is the same army that prayed for your book. Remember that?
Yes,
I do, brother. Yeah, that was awesome.
You guys rock. I love you guys so much. I hope the people know that the book is dedicated to all of you.
Yeah.
If you remember this, Father, I was going through a tough time putting, you know, this book out, Consecration to St. Joseph. And
an amazing book.
Thanks, brother. And I'm going to read the dedication because it's to you, Father Heilman, and all the Grace Force members, because you guys.
And Doug.
Then Doug, absolutely. Guys, listen to this. Dedication. To the many people who prayed that this book would come to fruition, your prayers and sacrifices made it happen. Thank you. And I mean that from the depths of my soul. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. And I know all of our Grace Force appreciates that. These people are money. They believe in the supernatural power of God, and they believe primarily in the Eucharist and the Rosary, the two pillars of St. John Bosco. And they just love Our Lady. We just finished 54 days, and it concludes today. And I got to tell you, as much as we've been challenged and asked to discipline ourselves during this time, and you're right, I heard a multitude of people who built home altars during this time and picked up the rosary and prayed as a family for the first time. You know, so God made good out of this very challenging time, and I believe He still will. And I think this month is going to be particularly challenging, and we're going to hit some challenging times, but I believe, again, God is more powerful than the devil, okay? But we've always, throughout sacred history, for tradition, we've always been asked to, he's a good father, right? He says, do you want this? You know, he's not just a candy machine, okay? So he teaches us to ask in humility, okay? So the asking is every bit a part of it. Jesus would go up and try to heal someone, and he'd say to them, do you believe I can do this? Okay, yes, Lord. And then after he healed them, it was because of your faith that you were healed, okay? So that element, and that requires people of great devout faith, and the United States Grace Force is that. For anybody who's hearing about this for the first time, just go to usgraceforce.com, and you'll see all about that. But when we conclude here, Father, I'm so very, very grateful for all that you do.
Yeah.
I remember when, by the way, you're looking at the book behind him. My brother-in-law helped him with that graphic art on the book. The one behind it, Champions of the Rosary.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. My son assisted too in there. Yeah.
That's right. So both of you guys, again, I mean, this shows you how awesome you guys are.
Yeah.
Both of you for this book, Champions of the Rosary,
had a
part in it, you know, as well.
Yep. So, yep. Yeah, I love that graphic.
We're brothers together.
We're brothers. All right, Father, can you close us with a prayer, if you would?
Absolutely. It's my honor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this rallying call to take up this spiritual weapon, the rosary, to unsheathe this sword, to slay dragons in our day, to defend our families, to defend our church, to grow in virtue, to live in sanctifying grace. Help us to overcome the evils of our time. We pray for a renewal in ourselves, in our families, in our parishes, in our dioceses, in our church around the world, for holiness, for holiness, for holiness. We pray this through the powerful intercession of Our Lady and the great Saint Joseph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Love you, Father. Thank you so much. This was amazing. We're going to have you on like next week.
Thanks, brother. You guys are awesome. I love you guys.
Yeah, thanks.